Hello there, and thanks for joining me on the podcast today. Suicide. The intent of suicide. The intent of death by self-destruction. That's my topic. You know, we have faced a secondary unpleasant and unfortunate result of this pandemic. We've been isolated. We've been ordered, if you will, to isolate and to remove ourselves from people and to not seek out people and not go to places where people are. And it has had a certain purpose for that. There's been a certain reason for that, and that is for the safety of everybody, to keep us what we call a social distance or a physical distance from people of 6 feet or more. Unfortunately, however, the fact is that for some, this becomes a very lonely existence, and it becomes a very unpleasant part of life. Some people cannot live alone. Some people cannot socialize just to themselves and keep themselves busy and keep themselves active and so on. There are people who just need to be with people. They're a little bit more on the extrovert side. They draw strength from people as compared to the introvert people who draw strength from being alone. So there are certain people who are prone to flourish at times like this when we have, or times like these when we have a self-imposed social restriction. But there are some people who just fight it and can't do it and can't handle it because they depend upon other people in their life. Now, we have seen a uptick in the number of suicides that have taken place in our country over the past 3 to 4 months. We've seen an uptick in the number of people who have attempted suicide. We've seen an uptick in the number of people who think about it, consider it. This whole thing of suicide has certainly been on the minds of many, many people. And you read this about it in many, many articles and newspapers and on the news and so on. It is an issue that is being talked about. And to some degree, the more we talk about it, the more we promote it and encourage it. It's been reported that today, and this is an uptick, by the way, today we have about 20 to 25% of the American population experiencing depression. Depression is usually a precursor or a coordinated part of the suicide thinking and the suicide action. Depressed people tend to commit suicide or think about it or attempt it. If you're not depressed, it doesn't immune you from that, but it's less likely, you know, to happen. So what about these depressed people? It's not just depression that promotes suicide. It's got to be more than that. But that certainly is a undergirding element of the suicide thought pattern. And according to my research and reading and my own experience, there are a number of other factors that seem to play a role in bringing people to the point of suicide, not just depression. Depression is part of it. It's basic. But there are some factors that enter in that also have to be considered. For instance, if a person has a history of trauma, been abused, they've been neglected, they've been hurt in some kind of way, they've been unfairly treated, unfairly accused, falsely accused, trauma of some kind, along with the depression, enhances or increases the likelihood of depression taking place. Just that added factor of a history of trauma. Here's another one, rejection. Now, usually in the suicide pattern, rejection is something that happens more recently, along with the depression. A girlfriend, a boyfriend, all of a sudden having an experienced rejection, and no longer has the friend or the companion or the support person be available. That person has moved away, or that person has turned their back on the person, or something of that nature. In other words, there's a rejection element in addition to the depression. Here's another one, life of loneliness, and that's what we now are finding. If a person is depressed and then lives a life of loneliness, increased chance of suicide. Whether that loneliness is self-imposed or it's imposed by the outside forces, such as we have it now under the legislative mandates and the governmental mandates to remain isolated, particularly older people, particularly people who are ill. So loneliness adds another whole factor. You add that to trauma, you add that to rejection, and you add loneliness. You see the boiling pot here of potential suicide. Here's another one. A life of being angry. People who are angry have never resolved their anger, which means they've been hurt, which means they live with pain, which means they live with deep, deep sense of isolation and impairment and hurt and pain. If a person is angry, there's reason to be angry. And it's usually because they've been mistreated in some manner. They've been falsely treated, they've been falsely accused, and anger is very likely to prevail. And if that doesn't ever get resolved, a person lives with that sense of anger. Anger along with depression increases the chance of suicide, or even a harsh relationship that you're in. You know, if you're depressed and are in a harsh relationship, people who do not commend, people who do not support, people who do not encourage, people who do not affirm, but are critical and are negative, you live in that kind of relationship, along with being depressed, you increase your chances of thinking about suicide. So you see, it's not just depression, but it's a factor, or it's a number of factors that add to the depression and add to the sense of distress of a person and the feeling of helplessness, and then eventually the feeling of hopelessness, the trauma, the rejection, the harsh relationships that they're in, feeling of unresolved anger and loneliness. All those factors, any one of those, any two or any three of those along with depression, puts a person at risk. So we have about a 25 to 20% range here of depression affecting the American people today. But suicide is likely to occur in about 20% of the depressed people, particularly if they have one of these or two of these other factors that I've just mentioned. Now let me take a gander here at some of the costs of suicide. I became aware of these factors reading some material from the Jason Foundation and from the Veterans Administration, and just a number of factors that might be of interest to you. Suicide Prevention Week, obviously, is the week coming up now, next week, September 6th through September 12th. So we're facing now a time of suicide focus and attention. So it's on us, and it causes us to give some real thought, you know, to that. In the world around us, about one person commits suicide every 40 seconds. That's through the whole world. So, but what about the United States? Well, all suicide. We're about the 10th leading cause of death. So people die from a lot of reasons. The 10th leading cause is that of suicide. The nation has an average of one suicide every 12 minutes. That's America. Not the world, that's America. But every 12 minutes, one. And in the ages of 10 to 14, suicide is the number two cause of death. So that's kids in the junior high years, high school years, and early college years. Suicide is the number two cause of death. 22 U.S. veterans commit suicide every day. That's much higher for men than it is for women. Suicide among males is four times higher than that among females. So men represent about 80% of all suicides. Females are more likely to have suicidal thoughts, but not act on them. They'll attempt suicide three times as often as males. So they might think about it a great deal, even attempt it. Often will attempt it, but not succeed. Where men will think about it, will attempt it, and succeed much more than women. So we have suicide attempts, and we have survivors. Estimated at something like 250,000 lives per year that have had some kind of a suicide event in their life but have survived it. And more than one in three people who die from suicide are under the influence of alcohol at the time. And I might add other drugs as well. And the elderly are particularly vulnerable. There's one suicide for every four suicide attempts among the elderly. So the elderly may attempt it. Three attempt it and do not succeed. One attempts and succeeds. One suicide for every four attempts. So you see, suicide is kind of a negative event, obviously, in our culture, in our society. It's an unpleasant one to think about. It's an unpleasant one to talk about. It's an unpleasant one to reflect on. But it's here. It's with us. It's with the people around us. And the average individual knows, let's say, about 600 people. They, you know, not very well do they know them, just maybe know them in a very casual or brief manner, or would recognize them in the streets if they saw them or something. But 600 people, and 20% of those people have suicide events going on in their life. That's 120 people out of the 600. So you see, it's prevalent. It's common, unfortunately, for people to live their life giving thought to this thing of suicide, giving consideration to this thing we call suicide, and even attempting it or entering into the world of suicide, whether it's by an unsuccessful attempt or a very vague attempt or a serious attempt. People engage in the world of suicide at a higher rate today than has been the case throughout history. Maybe the exception would be the Depression back in the 1920s, where suicide again was enormously high. So when our country goes through times of crisis, times of depression, and we're in a time of crisis right now, we have an epidemic This is a time of crisis. We're probably having a time of crisis economically and socially, similar to what we experienced back in the 1920s in the Depression. A lot of us don't understand what that is, don't remember what that is. We weren't living at that point in time, only if we read about it. But what we're going through today is what people went through in the 1920s, and many of them drew the conclusion that they couldn't make it through life and committed suicide. So times of crisis, national crisis, is a time of consideration for this topic of suicide, and that's the reason I'm bringing it to your attention. Be aware. Be aware of feelings within yourself. When you get down and get lonely and get discouraged and bad things happen in your life, be aware of the people around you, in your own family, in your own neighborhood, in your own church, in your own community, in your own clubs, in your own workplace, in your own school, and wherever you are with people. Remember, people are not all the same. People are not like you. You may not even deal with this issue of suicide, but there other people may. Be aware of it. Be conscious about how people might be experiencing life and thinking about how life should end and when it should end at this time in their life because of the pandemic that we're now experiencing. So there you are. Suicide is a critical event. It's a critical decision for people to make. The decision that people struggle with. They usually struggle with it for months and maybe years before ever committing suicide. It's not an impulsive decision. It's generally and usually something that has been going on in their mind, and they've been wrestling with this issue for a long time. And finally, some kind of a trigger event brings it about, such as being rejected or having somebody angry at you when you're angry, or having harsh relationships that just never end, or somehow having another trauma in your life. All that triggers the thoughts of suicide. So it's not just depression. It's depression plus. And there are a number of different events that take place in the life of individuals that can push you on over the edge. And I've just suggested a few. But everybody has their own, and everybody has a way to deal with it. But I bring it to your attention and saying, be aware. Be aware of it within yourself. Be aware of it within your family. Be aware of it within your neighborhood, within your community, and where you live, and all the things you do. It's part of life.